Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dorsey Wright Podcast. I'm Ian Saunders.
And I'm Eric McArdle.
And it is Wednesday, October 16th. And we started off the morning a little bit differently here this morning. Just got back from a brewery here, actually, close to the office. But don't worry, we weren't drinking this early in the morning. We're actually going to be doing a collaboration beer with a local brewery here in Richmond. That those of you that are coming to the Fall Point and Figure Institute in a few weeks here, we'll get the opportunity to taste if you so desire. So that was a pretty cool experience.
Very cool. It's really, really neat to get to see behind the scenes and, you know, have something where we can follow the process all the way through into a finished product. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to get too cliche, but that's what we do here in terms of our research, right? We have a process. We use the indicators and the tools to make sure that we take the temperature of the market and come out on the other side healthy with a good finished product. So awesome experience. And as Ian said, you know, if you do make it to the Point and Figure Institute in November here down in Richmond, Virginia, you'll have an opportunity to try out our handiwork today.
Absolutely. So, yeah, definitely. We're looking forward to tasting the Pint and Figure Pale Ale at the Point and Figure Institute here in Richmond.
So. Yep.
But back to the market side of things, we're seeing things kind of relatively unchanged, rather. I mean, not slight gains yesterday with some positive earnings releases, right? It's a little bit negative movement this morning. But what are some areas where we're seeing some real kind of positive movement here, at least?
Yeah, I mean, the first of which that I think is worth mentioning would be, you know, the technology stocks. And this is going to coincide with a recent reversal back up into X's on the bullish percent for NDX. So in those bullish percent indicators are looking at the percentage of stocks in an index or in an area of the market that are trading on point and figure buy signals. And so we did see that reversal back up into X's for the BP NDX with the chart reading a 56 yesterday. And you know, we haven't really talked about technology stocks a lot here lately, and that's not to say that they've necessarily lost any strength, but there were other areas of the market that were, you know, displaying strength and just a little bit more noteworthy. But I think it is prudent to come back and take a look at tech stocks just from a broad perspective and, you know, still showing leadership, right? We see technology as a broad group on the asset class group score page, displaying an average fund score of 4.27, which is an optimal score given the best possible score is a 6. The group has a slightly positive score direction, 0.04 over the last 6 months. So, you know, just edging out into the black. And I think what's really interesting, Ian, is when you look underneath, you know, the hood for technology stocks and break it down, you can see that internet stocks have struggled, right? Internet as a group on asset class group scores is scoring an average of 2.85, so suboptimal from that standpoint, with a negative score direction of 1.24. So for technology as a whole to still maintain that level of leadership on group scores with the internet stocks dragging down, it, you know, really is a testament to the strength of the broader group. And you see that on Dolly, right?
Absolutely.
You know, wide margin of leadership there. Haven't seen a whole lot of deterioration, if any, in terms of buy signals from the sector ranks. So, you know, just looking back at technology, being conscious of that weakness in internet stocks, and then being able to make a decision about where you might allocate new money from that perspective.
Absolutely. And I mean, you mentioned Dolly there with technology, still maintaining that strong leadership as a number one ranked sector. And I mean, if you look at the Dolly domestic equity sector breakdown from a historical perspective, on a month over month basis, technology has actually maintained that number one spot since April of 2017. I mean, talk about long-term leadership there. So
yeah.
Just because we're not talking about it all the time on the report, if we always talked about the number one sector, then we only would have been talking about technology for the last two years, right?
Yep.
Definitely those places to keep in mind. And you mentioned there that those broader funds are probably going to be the area that you're going to want to look for, given the underperformance from energy. Some other more recent improvement that we've seen, shifting gears a little bit towards the international side of things, has been in Japan. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been hard to miss the uptick. We were just walking in here to do the podcast and saw a headline flash across the Bloomberg screen that the Japan Nikkei Index is up for its fourth consecutive day, really kind of bouncing off after a pretty exhaustive kind of sell-off there for a lot of the space. Mm-hmm. If you look at it on the asset class group scores page and you sort all groups by score direction instead of by the average score, Japan is actually now the number one ranked group from a score direction standpoint with a score direction of 1.74. Now, its average score is still just south of our kind of that sought after three score line, but a 2.97 is pretty close, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that that group move above that sought after three score average there. And interestingly enough, you mentioned in there as well that we're seeing kind of improvement from the broader Pacific Basin area as well, kind of probably piggybacking on the backs of that Japan move there. Mm-hmm. But if you take a look kind of underneath the hood at several of these funds that are actually making up the Japan group there on the asset class group scores page, we've seen improvement from pretty broad areas really across the whole Japan equity space. I mean, the broadest fund there, EWJ, the iShares MSCI Japan ETF, probably one of the largest Japan ETFs there by market cap. The fund recently moved back to a buy signal after three consecutive sell signals. And it is now one box away from breaking back through to a positive trend, which would occur there at 58, average score 3.01, so slightly better than the average, just north of that three score line there, but a real strong score direction of 2.61. I mean, that just shows how far that group has come, or how far some of those funds have come off of the bottom there, previously a score of a 0.4, but back down when it was further south. But mm-hmm. looking kind of deeper down, other than just the broader fund, we're seeing small caps improve as well. The iShares Japan Small Cap ETF, SCJ, also one box away from breaking back through to a positive trend. And then Minvol Japan, might as well throw that in there too, right? Mm-hmm. Also shown solid improvement, also one box away from breaking back through to a positive trend. So if you start to see some of these trend lines get flipped, and you see those funds continue to advance, that definitely will affect the scores of those funds as well. And so you might see those fund scores tick up a little bit higher.
Definitely, and quite attributed to the developed market story in general. You know, in the international space, outperforming emerging on the year, right? So Japan is certainly a large component of that grouping. So interesting to see, you know, improvement off of the downside there. And, you know, to wrap up our area of what we consider to be the good in the market right now, you know, just broadly speaking, it's hard to ignore utilities, right? This is an area of the market that's scoring a 4.7 optimal group score on asset class group scores, putting it in the number one spot of 135 groups in total. So, you know, that is definitely noteworthy, right? Positive score direction of 0.69. OBOS reading of 24, and that OBOS is looking at where the group is trading relative to its 10-week moving average, right? So a reading of 0 would be in the middle of that trading band. 100 on either end, positive or negative, would be heavily overbought or oversold. And so, you know, I think coming back to areas within domestic equities that are, you know, prime for putting money to work, utilities really a great candidate at this point. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the average group returns on the asset class group score page, you can see the utilities group has outperformed the S&P 500 on the year, right? Just edging it out, but, you know, not something you would traditionally expect from a, you know, more defensive area of the market such as utilities. And a lot of that on the back of, you know, the lower yield story, perhaps a little bit of a flight to quality as we've had some uncertainty in the market over the last 12 months. But nonetheless, you know, looking like a strong area to put money to work at a good entry point at this point.
Mm-hmm. And kind of continue with the domestic equities vein, but looking at areas where you might not want to put money to work right now. Mm-hmm. One of those we've seen kind of consistent weakness so far this year that we were discussing here earlier was healthcare, right? I mean, that a lot of those stocks really kind of took off on a tear at the beginning of the year, and then we saw a big sell-off there in May, and they've really just kind of continued to deteriorate so far throughout the year. I mean, the healthcare group on the asset class group scores with an average score there of a 2.22, 2.13 earlier this week, is approaching that 2016 low, that near-term low that we saw back at just altitude of 1.95, but definitely been one of the weaker groups that we've seen there, right?
Yeah, and you know, those of you who were investing in the last election cycle, mm-hmm. you know, not to say that everything is narrative or event driven, but this feels very similar to what we went through in 2015 and 16, right? Leading up to the 2016 election, healthcare is a popular topic for candidates and constituents both, right? So you're going to hear a lot of talk about that. And that's all to say that, you know, right now you're seeing that translated into the technicals, and it's probably an area that you want to avoid until you start to see some improvement. You know, when you break down the healthcare names, you see a lot of the pharmaceuticals, a lot of the drug companies scoring poorly. And that also translates over into biotech, right? Mm-hmm. So biotech, which, you know, obviously a little bit more growth-oriented, usually smaller to mid-cap names, scoring even worse than the healthcare group with an average score of 1.62 and a negative score direction of 1.85. So, you know, by and large, healthcare an area to, you know, steer clear of. Again, when you're looking at exposure there, you can use the ideas button on the left-hand side of the group score page to break out different funds. You'll notice medical devices and equipment still holding up relatively well, but broadly speaking, an area to avoid.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And some further areas that we might want to avoid. We've done the good, we've done the bad, now we get to the ugly, mm-hmm. right? Looking at shares that have really kind of sold off significantly here, especially recently, has been oil, right?
Yep.
I mean, we've seen really a kind of massive sell. Those funds, a lot of this, I mean, I remember back when we were doing the quarterly updates after the first quarter, oil and gas ETFs were the place you wanted to be. I mean, some of those funds were up 20-30% over the three-month period. Probably a good time to lock in, buy gas, stock up on gas then because the price is only going up. But that has certainly not been the case as we've continued through the rest of the year here. And interestingly enough, we were taking a look at some areas actually from the Wall Street Journal this morning that we've seen about 26% decline in oil prices so far this year. Mm-hmm. But that's what's been far worse has actually been the oil and gas companies, the exploration companies there that are actually going out and getting these products and those companies that you can invest in. The average, I'm kind of looking at the SPDR S&P oil and gas exploration and production ETF there has lost almost 50% of its value. Then we have the oil service index, the PHLX oil service index, which is 15 companies that are going to be helping producers get at these oil there. It's down over half of 54% so far year to date there.
Mm-hmm. Incredible. Yeah, I mean, you look at XOP and the fund score is near 0.09. I don't think I've ever seen one that bad.
Pretty low.
You know, it's an area that clients like because of the dividends, right? Mm-hmm. And it's an easy story. A lot of people, you know, attach the narrative of, okay, these companies might not be going away anytime soon, right? Oil's always going to fluctuate. That said, when something is this technically weak, you know, there's never a good time to chase the dividends for this. And oftentimes those yields are going to be elevated because of that depreciated price. So be careful in oil and gas. MLPs are no different. They're scoring the lowest possible ranking on our asset class group score system in dead last at 135th place. So, you know, energy broadly, MLPs looking relatively weak. Interestingly enough, when you pull up the ideas within the energy group on asset class group scores, the names that are scoring the highest are clean energy, right? Mm-hmm. So solar, you know, wind, et cetera. And whether you view that as a traditional energy natural resource play or not, I think it is important to maybe note where the market is heading on that front.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Definitely an ugly area, only seeming to get worse. So,
and
steer
you
clear.
Mentioned there as well. There's the question that we've been saying: is value ever going to come back into play? Right? Is it time to maybe start picking at some of these ideas? kind of bottom fishing ideas to hopefully get some returns here as we head towards the seasonally strong period in the market, which begins next month. But if you look back at the historical fund score of the energy natural resources group there on the asset class group scores page, the group currently is fourth to last out of the 135 groups that we have on the system, with an average score there of 1.37, as you mentioned. So a lot of times when we see groups sell off this significantly, I mean, Japan was down there and now it's back up, you would expect that they're going to rally at some point. But if you look back at the historical score perspective, energy can stay down at pretty low scores for quite a while.
Yeah.
Looking back at the August 2015 timeframe, moved south of a score of 1.0. So the average score on the group scores was below 1.0. And it pretty much stayed below those levels until early March of 2016. So you're looking at months there of extremely low scores. So while the time will likely come that we see an energy rebound here, haven't seen any indication that time is going to be in the near future.
Wow. You know, and on that point, Ian, when you look at the longevity of that weakness for energy, you know, I'm looking at the S&P 500 right now, and you see energy makes up right now about 4.5% of the total weightings of the index. And from what I recall, that is the lowest it's ever been. But you know, all that said, even if you just removed energy from your broad domestic equity exposure and held that over, say, the last 5 years, you would significantly outperform, right? Because it's been such a laggard. So, and we talk about relative strength in terms of offense and being able to find winners, but the ability to identify losers and then exclude them from your exposure is just as powerful, and maybe even more beneficial, right?
Absolutely.
So,
Oftentimes a lot more difficult to have a conversation with clients about big losses than it would be about things kind of continuing on.
I know that's the truth.
Yeah.
Great. Well, the good, the bad, and the ugly in the markets, and there's always something, right? So
absolutely, and we'll continue obviously heading down kind of beginning earnings season this week. So we'll continue to update update you on any changes on stocks there with the Daily Equity Report or any further updates that we see as we head towards the beginning of November here.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it as always, and thank you all for joining. We'll talk to you next week.